World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, I'm trying to figure out what happened to me. Welcome here on Tuesday morning. I didn't even look at the calendar here this morning, the 9th. I just kind of wonder, my poor wife's upstairs. I just hugged her before I came down, told her how much I loved her, and thanks for hanging in there with me, and what an honor it was to be able to sleep with her at night, or however many nights I've been able to. When the night's over, and the day's over, and the day's done, and crawling beds, you got somebody that laying next to you that's keeping you warm, and her heart's knit together with mine. And because, you know, I've undergone some of you know me, some of you don't know me. And some of you who know me don't even know me anymore. I hear that a lot. Say, Coach, I don't even know you anymore. Because there's been just a radical transformation that took place in my life. I don't know how it happened. Like last night, I think there was a national championship football game on, wasn't it? Didn't Alabama play Georgia last night? I think so. And I'm not being coy. Alabama won, I saw. And you know what? I didn't watch not one second of that game. I couldn't care less. I could not have cared less about that football game last night. Now, you understand that was my life? That consumed everything about me for 50 years of my life? 50 years of my life was sports. And that national championship game was on last night, and I didn't watch. I had no desire not to watch one second. Why? Because my wife gets on me all the time. I want to go for deeper stuff. I'm not going to. People say, Coach, we all waste a lot of time. Well, I want to waste my time on good stuff. I'm not going to sit in front of my TV and eat popcorn and watch Georgia play Alabama. I'm just not going to do it. It just doesn't appeal to me anymore. And I say that because that's not who Michelle married. She married this guy who would sit there and eat the popcorn, and I'm not that guy anymore. And Zach was over, our son was over here last night. And man, he knows every statistic and every football player. And I just scratched my head thinking, you know, that used to be me. And I thank God today that he's taken my mind off of the trivial and put it on the stuff that's more important. And I thank God for my wife who's been able to go down this journey together with me because, you know, marriage isn't an easy thing. It isn't. And as I made the comment yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I talked about how my wife so takes things to heart. Anything you bring up, she takes to heart. And she's my sounding board. And when I get a revelation, and I always share it with her first. And she, Michelle, I've always told her this. She says, honey, you give birth to everything that touches you. You're very fertile. You give birth. And I said, you're going to learn at some point, quit giving birth to some of these things. In fact, some of these things I have to try to abort in her, if you know what I'm talking about. Things that she takes in that she tries to give life to. She doesn't try to give life to, but it's her nature to give life to it. And I said, thoughts, and take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity over and over. Oh, honey, don't let that bother you. Don't. And I just want to say, I want to say this. Michelle and I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers. I'm telling you. I know that I hear from you guys. I know those of you are out there praying for us. Cause you know what? Sometimes when you get deeply involved in what's going on, you can't pray. There's some things you just can't pray about. And not only that, there's some things you can't see. Some things you can't see. And I appreciate that. I got a couple emails yesterday. One I'm going to share with later on if we get a chance to. I appreciate those of you out there who are constantly, that's not the right word, who are faithful in pointing out things to me that they think maybe I'm missing. And I try not to get defensive, and I try not to think I'm right, you're wrong. I try never to go there. But I would tell you, we need your prayers. We need your prayer. Not, we don't, just for truth. Because it's an awesome responsibility when, I don't know how many people watch. I don't know. Thousands maybe. I don't know. And when I said something comes out of my mouth, I want it to be the truth. And I want to test the spirit. And I want to make sure that what I'm saying is of the Lord. And it's not just something I thought of on my own or something I got from. And then I struggle. I got my Hillary shirt on here today again. I'm ever faithful. I'm a man of faith, and I'm believing we're going to see this. And I struggle because I'm trying to balance this whatever this huddle, this get together, trying to balance it, keep it balanced. I get emails from people. They say, "Hey, coach, little less Bible, huh? Little less Bible." And then I hear from other people, "Oh, coach, little less politics. We don't want to know about that." And so I'm trying to juggle something as I present truth. And I try not to be overly reactive. I try not to see something that happens in the news and then come in here and talk about the next. I ain't Rush Limbaugh. I'm not a play-by-play announcer. And I know that over the last 6 months in particular, you can get buried on the internet on this QAnon and 8chan, and they're going to arrest these people and they're going to arrest. You can get buried on that. But I got to tell you, there's something going on. There's something going on. And we would be foolish if we didn't talk about some of the stuff that's going on, because we as Christians ought to be on the cutting edge and understand what's happening. Yeah, Ben.
Hey, Gautier, I just want to say one thing we should insist on is when they put the pantsuit war pig on trial, is that we have open trials with all, because they paraded all Trump's cabinet in front of us for an entire year with absolutely nothing. So I don't want them to think that they can have secret tribunals so they can get away with stupid deals and let her off.
That, brother, that's why I have the shirt on today, okay? That's why I have the shirt on.
Good man.
Because, listen, the Lord, it displeased the Lord that there was no justice. There was no justice. This isn't political. I hope the Bushes come down too, okay? I hope the Clintons come down. I hope the Obamas come down. I hope the Bushes come down.
Amen.
Stay out the Bushes. Amen. Isn't that what Jesse Jackson said? Stay out the Bushes. And I hope righteousness, because righteousness exalteth the nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. And we are in the mess we are in because, again, I hate to continue to pound that same drum, but we are in where we are because of the ineffectiveness of the church to be the salt.
Let me throw in one more thing, brother.
Just a second. The Constitution was made for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governments of any other. John Adams said. Yes, go ahead, Benny.
Yes, I just want to say this also. One thing we should also not tolerate are mealy mouth apologies and I'm going to have remorse and I'm a good guy. I want a second chance. No, all you filthy bastards need to pay.
That's right. Vince, I use this illustration. Repentance brings you forgiveness for your sins, but it doesn't cancel the consequences of it, right? So I know you're sorry, but you need to hang. I know you're sorry. We accept your apology, but you need to hang. You've done untold evil to this nation. That's my position.
Amen.
Right?
Amen, coach.
Okay, thanks. And see, then another thing that I think you guys noticed this. I try to take these things head on. I don't back down for nothing. And I know that when I bring some of these things up, I know the reaction. Because we are so programmed and so conditioned. I'll tell you. If I mention something about a black guy, it ain't got nothing to do with racism. If you want to go there, and if you want your mouth to be shut because somebody's told you somewhere that as a white guy, you're not allowed to talk about blacks. I don't know what to tell you. Am I allowed to talk about Muslims? Am I allowed to talk about Hispanics? Am I allowed to talk about fat women? What am I allowed as a white man to talk about? Well, I've made
this
the decision.
This is America.
Then I'm going to talk about whatever the heck I want to talk about. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Amen.
And this idea that, and if one more person sends me an email says, coach, you need to do it more in love. I ask you the daggone question. What is that? What is love? You ever heard of tough love? Jesus is the truth. Speaking the truth in love. That, what do you cannot speak the truth and have it not be in love. Boy, that, you write that one down.
Hey, Coach. I think most of us, wouldn't mind those folks going to a softer channel. I'm just saying, don't soften.
Oh no, I'm not. Thanks, Mark. I ain't softening. Okay, I'm not softening. So that's not what it is, because I think that again, you talk about the spirits. I got an email yesterday about the spirits, and it was right on. And I read the spirit. Test the spirits. I want you to think about this a minute right now. Whatever the spirit is that Donald Trump has, is it good or bad?
Good.
Some of it may be not good, but I think for the most part, good. No, I mean, I'm talking about him. I'm talking about the spirit in which he operates. It is so salty, dare I use that word, that the entire American government is in an uproar. Would everybody agree with that? The entire American government appears to be in an uproar. And why is it in an uproar? Because
they're all filthy.
Well, it's because of one man, though, is it not? Would it be less? Ted Cruz would be elected? Would we be seeing what's going on if Ted Cruz had been elected? No,
oh, please.
Of course not. No, wouldn't be.
Well, Coach.
So, yeah, Jared.
Slugs don't love salt.
Salt kills slugs. Salt kills slugs. I had a good meeting yesterday. Last evening, I sat down with Pastor Bill Dunphy, a guy I consider my pastor. Sat down, had a great meeting with him. Just chewing stuff back and forth on what's going on and where we are and what we do with it. And it's so refreshing to me to find a man of God who supports what I do. Isn't that something? He doesn't agree with everything. I'm sure he doesn't. But he supports it. He has a platform. And I was having the conversation with him last night. I said, you know what? Our queue is filled in the morning with guys who ain't got no platform. Nobody ever put their hand on his shoulder and pat him on the back and says, you're doing a good job. You keep doing it. You keep walking out what the Lord called you to do. You keep doing that, brother. You keep doing it. How many of you have ever had any Christian leader ever do that for you? I would say none. Nobody has. And so we question ourselves and wonder why men are so passive and so stale in church. Nobody's ever put their hand on and said, man, oh, yeah, you got the gift of provocateur. Yeah, brother. Thank you. We need that, right? And who do we know that they killed? Who did they kill? Who did Jesus say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I'd love to gather you like the hen gathers her chicks, but you have killed the prophets? Killed the prophets. And what is a prophet? A prophet is the one who speaks for God and brings correction and direction. And it's just like in the old, if you have something that's bringing correction or direction to the church, you're not welcome there. You're not welcome. And I want to guard against, and part of the discussion I had with Pastor Bill last night, I don't want to be a church basher, but I want to be a church inspector. I want to be a fruit inspector and point out to people it isn't working because of this and this and this. And the great frustration that I have, and people say, you seem so angry, as I've said before, the great frustration is this. We shouldn't be losing. We should not be losing. Bad theology? Bad, I don't know what it is. We should not be losing. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Kill son. What does it mean when Jesus said, occupy till I return? What does it mean when the book of Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith, and goes and talks about the evil man who crept in unawares and changed the truth of God into a lie and going to favor? What does all that mean? And how do we as Christians, how do we ignore that? How do we wipe that out of our Bibles? That's my frustration. You won't believe this. I'm so happy. I got a happy wife. We all got a happy life. You got a happy wife, right? I got a happy life. But there's a part of me that is this, it is what it is. This competitive warrior inside of me. Lord made me that way. Boy, that was like a 15 minutes sitting on the couch. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Hey, boys, first of all, this show ain't for everybody. All right? And let me ask you another one. This is for all of us. Where do you get the right to come onto my Facebook page and call me names, say things about me? I'm nice enough to open up. If I opened up my house and invited you in, would I let you come into my house and insult me? Would you get on my Facebook page and insult me? I'm not talking about me. I'm not crying about me. I'm just saying in general. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right, cool. Let me open the door. I got a lot of stuff today I want to talk about. Talk about Oprah here in a minute. Anybody got anything thrown on the table here real quickly?
Yeah, Coach, I think that Trump's loyalty truly is to the nation.
I do too, Jeff.
And to the American way and our heritage and not to any political party. I think that is driving the swamp crazy.
I think you're right, Dale.
Amen, Dale.
And sorry, is Kevin Bushy on here today? Let me flip back over. I got over someplace because you're in here, aren't you, Sarge? Yeah.
Yes.
Hey guys, listen. I want you to know this. We have to be smart enough to understand experts in our midst. All right. Now, Mark Trump to me, he's a cyber sleuth. He's an expert. Talk about that kind of stuff. He's an expert. Chad, law enforcement stuff. I think Chad's an expert. I value what he says. I value what everybody says. But you get my point, right? Kevin Bushy spent part of his career in the Pentagon. Kevin Bushy is an expert in his field. He's an expert. And sometimes I sense from Sarge, that's Kevin Bushy, I sense from Sarge, who's actually a colonel, I sense that he's hesitant in some things that he shares because it's almost like, well, they won't really get it. Hey, Sarge, there's something big going on, isn't there, brother? With your Pentagon expert and understanding how the Pentagon flows, the military flows, Sarge, there's something going on in America right now, isn't there, brother?
Well, let me just say this. My last 3 years working at the Marine Corps Operations Center in the Pentagon, guess what? I can't reach anybody. So that tells me a whole lot. They're on lockdown.
Wow, huh? Now, folks, I'm going to say this. Maybe, Sarge, maybe you can help us on this one. This happened on December 21st, very, very quietly. President Trump, in an executive order, declared a national state of emergency. Does the average person know that that happened? That happened, didn't it, Sarge? He declared a national state of emergency.
Absolutely. And what people don't realize when he did that is it gives him sole authority to call up the use of the military without going to Congress, without going to anybody.
He bypassed the Justice Department. He bypassed Congress. He declared a national state of emergency, which gives him special powers for like 60 days or whatever it was. And Sarge, help me out here. Much of what he's doing or what they tell us he's doing is being done through the military, not through police.
Yeah, I think he has surrounded himself with people that he absolutely can trust because the corruption runs so deep in all 13 departments of the government that he has a very small group of people that are actually helping him run our government right now.
How many of you knew that he had declared a national state of emergency? See, it was a part of a big order he gave on the 21st of December. There was a lot of stuff in there talking about seizing of property and all this kind of stuff. But all lost in all that was the fact that he declared a national state of emergency, which gave him a specific set of powers that he didn't normally have. So a lot of what's going on is not, we're not aware of it, okay? Because it's not being done through the normal channels that things would be done. So I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat, but I'm telling you, issues regarding the deep state are being dealt with right now. Now, I don't know what degree. Can you enlighten that at all, Sarge? Can you add anything?
Well,
to that?
That email that you sent me that I sent out to some of the Huddle guys, the Greg Hunter Week in Review from last week.
Unbelievable, yep.
That's the one, if you've not watched it, you should at least watch that one just to get a strategic perspective of what's going on.
Yes, sir. So that's why, Sarge, Michael from Spokane is part of a prayer network. Sarge, take a minute and talk about that. We're at a crucial time in America, and most people aren't even aware of it. And so there's a special prayer that's going to take place at noon on Thursday. Can you talk a little bit about that, Kevin?
Yeah, I've sent it out to the entire Salt and Light Brigade list. It's the strikeforceofprayer.com site. There's a telephone number and PIN that you can call in. Mike Ortega, one of our brothers, who's on the queue every once in a while, is leading that prayer group. And this is a prayer group that was brought together because of the combined efforts of both Mark Taylor and Mary Colbert. Mary Colbert was Mark's co-author on his book, Trump Prophecies, and they were the ones that ran a daily, everyday prayer call 6 months leading up to Trump's election. I believe very strongly Mark has been gifted and anointed to provide some prophetic words as we move forward. And it's time for all prayer warriors to unite. And this strikeforceofprayer.com is one way for us to get plugged in to a larger national effort for a time on a unified call to pray for our country, to pray for our people who are protecting our constitutional rights and moving us forward. So we encourage everybody to try to make it on that call on Thursday. And even if you don't make the call, they archive the call. Jared actually is the webmaster for that site. So there's great detail of information there, and you can join in on a prayer afterwards, because all prayer is fervent and goes to the Lord. And whether you hear it live or after the fact, it's all part of the plan.
For Sarge, that's for all those people saying, all we need to do is pray. We just need to pray. Well, okay, baby. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds here. Here. And I'm
praying during that time. I'm sorry, Coach, I'll probably be working, but I pray that you guys lift him up for a national day of repentance. Because I think right there, he's already stirred the Republican and the Democrats against him. That would probably stir the church against him, because how dare we have to repent, you know?
Yeah. You know, Dale, we've seen God is moving somewhere, doing something. We've seen things come from a Christian perspective coming out of the White House that just I didn't know if I'd ever see. I just didn't know if I'd ever see. And one thing we can say, I can say without any reservation, Trump is not anti-Christian. He's not anti-Christian. Is he a full-blooded Christian? People say, oh, Coach, you can't judge another man's salvation. Yeah, people want to do that all the time about Trump. I don't know where he is spiritually. With the fruit coming out of the White House, boy, there's a lot of salt dripping off some of that fruit that's coming out of there, right? So
I think he honors Christianity. I think he honors our heritage of being a Judeo-Christian, and he is not a Muslim sympathizer. And you know, I think he recognizes America as a Christian nation. This is what we founded on. You see, the Supreme Court also shot down the ACLU yesterday by not hearing a case.
Hey, Coach.
From the Fifth Circuit Court.
You know, your comments just a minute ago where it says, people say, you can't judge another man's salvation. That is the perfect segue into the questions of what is a Christian, who is a Christian. Because I think, you know, when somebody tells me I can't judge another man's salvation, I tell them, then you're telling me I can't possibly obey what the Bible tells me to do.
He who is spiritual judges all things. Right, Larry?
See, there's a difference between judging the way people think in their minds is determining guilt. But guess what? Judging from a biblical point where it says, judge not lest ye be judged. That's not determining guilt. That is passing the punishment. That is pronouncing the punishment, that part of judgment. But the judgment of determining guilt, determining right from wrong, determining good from evil, we're commanded to do that.
Amen.
And Larry, that is goes right back to what Coach has said. A fruit inspector, like you said, we do not examine their thoughts and their head, but we can judge by their fruits, their actions. You'll know the tree by the fruit, and it talks about if that tree don't bear fruit, you dig up around it, you water it, give it a few, and if it don't, you're supposed to cut that thing down.
Yeah, and there's more than fruit inspection. That's only one tool that's in the Bible. There's other tools in the Bible.
Amen. Just hang on, Larry. It is a good segue, but I'm not ready. I got a couple things I want to show you today here. First of all, Lord, where do you want me to go here? Okay, I'll go there. I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to dive right back into it again. We better wake up and understand that the attack in America is on the white Anglo-Saxon male. Do you hear what I just said? You're not allowed to say that, of course. Not allowed to say it. I don't know how many of you watched the Golden Globes, whatever they call those things, the other night. It was the most absolute, unbelievable frontal assault on white Christian maleness that I have ever seen. Now, they couched it behind sexual abuse. The world's richest woman stood up there and cried how she was discriminated against. The world's richest woman. And all the women dressed in black. And then you had these sissy men that came up and did self-flagellation afterwards. Oh yeah, we're just awful. And all the way we've treated women. Whack, 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 whack. And then the media, you tell me this is not orchestrated. Oprah gets up there and gives that talk. And then now they want Oprah to be president of the United States. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey.
That's a joke.
Now, wait a minute. Hey, Sarge, it is, but it's all conditioning, boys. It's all conditioning. Nobody thinks Oprah is going to be president of the United States. But what's going on, again, this is, when I start talking about race, I'm a racist. And I just see it now. I just see it now. So it would be easier for me just not to say anything. How do you answer a charge of racism? How do you answer it? And that is the charge they throw out. They throw. Yes.
They can throw the charge of racism all they want. You don't put people who don't belong in certain positions in those positions. You don't put a bus driver in a cockpit of a plane. What's he going to do there? He's going to crash.
Right. So listen, Jared, let's play right now. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Dave?
Yeah, Raj.
One of the biggest difficulties that's developing, and nobody really talks about it, is in corporate America, as they jam this diversity down our throat, you're not going to be able to be a Bible believer and work in corporate America.
No, because, Roger, they associate, dare you stay with me, whiteness and Christianity. That's what they're trying to condense down, right? How come diversity doesn't include, if we're going to have true diversity, how come short guys can't play in the NBA? If we did the demographics, I think America's about, I could be wrong, about 65% white. Well, why aren't 65% of the players in the NBA white? If we're going to have true diversity, where are the Chinese playing in the NBA? Where are the fat people? See, diversity comes down to what they determine diversity is. And to them, diversity is skin color and race. And why skin color and race? Because there is an assault on white Anglo-Saxon men. I mean, sorry.
It reemphasizes the importance of entrepreneurial activity, because you are not going to go up any corporate ladder once they find out you are a Bible believer. It is going to be very difficult. Not impossible. God can move, and you can have somebody above you that brings you up. But it is going to be very hard for Bible-believing men and women to do anything more than their entry-level job, because it'll be hard-pressed to move them up.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I just want to just jump in. There's a movie. This gives me hope. This is kind of a hopeful thing. There's a movie called The Incredibles. It's a cartoon. And one of the lines in The Incredibles is, well, once everyone's super, then no one is. Right? So, once everyone's a racist, then no one is. That's the hole they're digging.
That is. We're so programmed. I didn't, red pill, blue pill. Jared, put that video up there. That says stuff. Put that video of Oprah up there. This is only about 30 seconds. Now, I want you to think about this. If a white guy had said anything remotely similar to what Oprah said, are you kidding me? Huh? Well, Kyle, there, right wing watch, he's writing down every word he can right now of what I'm saying about racism. Because why? Because they have got to convince you as a white guy you're not allowed to have opinions based on race, because if you do, you're racist.
Oh, Coach, what did she say, Coach? Oh my goodness.
Well, let's find out. What did Oprah say? You have it up there, Jared? Let me see. You got it up there. Guys, you gotta bear with me, because this thing isn't very long. Jared starts at about the, yeah, I think that's about the, this is back in November 15th, 2013. And I want you to listen to what Oprah Winfrey said. Go ahead, Jared. Well, no, I'm sorry. Go back to about 2:20, Jared. Because this is an interview that they're doing with her, right? And they ask her about race relations, right? Now, remember, Hollywood wants to give her, right? They want to give us her, right? The God haters want to give us her, okay? They say she's the most popular, whatever they say. Okay, listen closely. Go ahead, Jared.
We've come, and now this is how much farther we need to go. Of course, the problem is not solved. You know, as long as people can be judged by the color of their skin, the problem's not solved. As long as there are people who still, and there's a whole generation, I say this, you know, I said this, you know, for apartheid South Africa. I said this for my own, you know, community in the South. There are still generations of people, older people, who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
Hey, Jared, play that again. I want you guys to look in her eyes. Go ahead, Jared.
My own, you know, community in the South, there are still generations of people, older people, who were born
and bred. Hang on a minute, Jared. Go back there a minute, Jared. Right there. I want you to look at this geek interviewing her. And is he going to defend himself? Or is he just going to give a platform for her to just bash away on race? How long have they been crying about race? How long, America, have we been crying about this thing, huh? How long? Go ahead, Jared. Watch your eyes.
Of course, the problem is not solved. You know, as long as people can be judged by the color of their skin, the problem's not solved. As long as there are people who still, and there's a whole generation, I say this, you know, I said this, you know, for apartheid South Africa, I said this for my own, you know, community in the South, there are still generations of people, older
Look
people who were born. And
look at that guy. He's going to defend himself, isn't he? He's going to defend Whitey. Go ahead.
Has nothing to do with race.
Nothing.
75% of black babies are born into families without dads.
Amen.
Community, it's about 45%. They both are destined for difficulties. without.
You're just a misogynist. You're a racist misogynist, Roger. You're not allowed to have an opinion on that.
It has nothing to do with that.
Go ahead. Watch your eyes.
Bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
Hang on a minute. Hey, Oprah, how are they going to die? You're just going to let them die of old age, Oprah, if you get to be president of the United States? You related in any way? You got any spirit anyway similar to Adolf Hitler and what he did over there? Is this just kind of reverse Nazism, Oprah? And see, folks, we're getting all kinds of signals like this, and we just ain't taking them. We're not taking them. See, right now, there are people watching right now who want to accuse me of being a racist. Could you imagine if I said that we had, I'm not even going to say it, because right wing watch will pull out. Can you imagine if I said a specific part of our society had to just die?
Hey, Coach, all the black people have to die so we don't have crime anymore. How about that, huh?
Vince, you said that. You said that. What if I said that, Vince? I mean, this is I'm and do you hear Pete from anybody? Huh? You did from Roseanne. Roseanne said, I'd do a better job as president than Oprah. Roseanne said that. So maybe there is hope. I'm trying to connect bigger dot.
Black people have to die and stuff.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Hey, Jared, while I'm on it now, Jared, go it says kill white people. Paul Craig Roberts. I don't know if you guys respect Paul Craig Roberts. Paul Craig Roberts, he's a prolific writer. He wrote this today, January 6, 2018. And what does he say? Are whites being set up for genocide? Now, maybe he's been listening to Coach Dave live, huh? Maybe he has. I don't know. Let's see what he says here. Identity Politics has responded with outrage against People Magazine's choice of the white male country singer Blake Shelton as the sexiest man in the world. So People Magazine selects him and everybody's mad. According to the adherents of Identity Politics, the choice indicates that People Magazine is racist and part of the white supremacy movement to elevate white people above people of color. The choice is doubly outrageous because, according to a writer in Salon, it reinforces and celebrates toxic white male sexuality and elevates a white man to a position of popular acclaim. I'm not going to go ahead and read all this stuff. I'm just telling you, this is real. This is real. Guys, this is real. And why is it happening? Can I tell you why it's happening? Are you hearing black voices, black Christian voices, black Christian pastors rising up and speaking against Oprah? Are you hearing those voices? Speaking out and crying against Obama, who was a race divider, and Oprah, who's a race divider. Have you heard Christian men, black Christian men, stand up and say, this is so wrong. We're all brothers and sisters. And those of us who carry the name of Christ, there's no skin color. There's no Greek. There's no Jew. There's none of that. We're all as the body of Christ. As the body of Christ. Well, what's the devil's scheme? Divide and conquer. So it's out there everywhere we look, see? Everywhere we look. I could go on more and more and more. Anybody, jump in here. Hang on, Jared, one more. Click on another one, Jared. Is it the same? No, I did it. Never mind. They go on to say that whiteness is a disease. Go on, scroll down just a second, Jared. Maybe I need to do this. Just think about this for a minute. Suppose the writer had said talked about white. Somebody said the white DNA was a disease. Right? They hate. By the way, they're hating Taylor Swift now because she's becoming popular and she's way too white. Did anybody feel uncomfortable talking about race? Why do we feel uncomfortable talking about it? Just suppose. Think about this for a minute. Suppose the writer had said homosexual DNA is an abomination. Can you imagine the outcry? Or black DNA is an abomination. Or heaven forbid, Jewish DNA is an abomination. Anyone who declared homosexuals, blacks, or Jews to be an abomination would be instantly fired, sued, charged with hate crimes, and driven so deep into the ground that they would never reemerge. Man, oh man, oh man. All right, doors open. I'm gonna shift gears. I just think it's important. Anybody? Okay, Jared, I'm gonna shift gears. Let's go to John 5.
Unless those comments fly from the enemy's camp, which they will defend. Remember Ruth Nader Ginsburg, one of the Supreme Court ladies sitting there, said about the black race, you know, we thought at the time of Roe versus Wade that we were exterminating some peoples that are a race that we didn't want too many of. I mean, where's the outcry of that?
Well, the outcry is not there, Dale, because there's two teams, right? There's the Lord's team and there's the devil's team. And unfortunately, the church has allowed the devil.
I'm saying if it comes from their camp, it's not racist.
That's right. Well,
it's only racist if it comes from.
That's right. We're allowing the devil's team to make the rules, aren't we?
No, isn't that ridiculous?
It is ridiculous.
When wrong is wrong, no matter who does it, right?
Supposed to be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. If John Roberts or any of the others, if Anton Scalia would have said something what Ruth Nader Ginsburg said, I mean, their heads would have been spinning puke and green. Now, I read an article yesterday that she believes that pedophilia should be legalized in America. And I'm not sure exactly how truthful that is, but I've read that.
No, they've been trying that forever, brother. They want to normalize pedophilia. They want to normalize bestiality.
Well, the reason why they want to make something, Vince, the reason why they want to make something like that legal is because they're already engaged in it.
That's right.
The same reason why the church tries to bring down people like Dave or myself or Rusty or Flip or Matt Terwilla is they want us to tone down our message because then it justifies their lifestyle. Why is it, you know, the only Christian I know that's coasting is coasting downhill. I know that as a Christian, we are climbing and we are striving forward.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, it's Satanism. Hey, they want to turn everything bad that's good and everything good is bad.
Listen, I want to look over my shoulder here, man. I got an email, a deeply thought through email that I want to share with you today. And regarding what we spoke about John 5 yesterday, remember I talked about troubled waters and we want bridges over troubled waters. And I got a good email here that I want to take you to. Jared, if we can get John chapter 5 up alongside of the email that I got yesterday, I just want to bring this to your attention because I think that the person sent me this email makes some valid points. But I think there can be double meanings, okay? Double meanings. So let's go to Jared. Let's pull up chapter 5 first real quick so we can see what we're talking about here. Beginning in verse 2. It says, now there is a Jerusalem by this sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now, we're going to do this. Just bear with me, okay? And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Okay, now let me make something very, very clear. Very clear. I believe the troubled water is man-created. The troubled water that we see in this scripture, again, I'm not a theologian. I think it is troubled water is man-created solution. And that those people who would get into that troubled water, they would be made, they might be cured, but they weren't made whole. The only one that can make you whole is Christ. That's the only one that can, right? But the point that I was trying to make yesterday is that sometimes you got to go into the troubled water. Sometimes you got to go in there and rescue people. Sometimes that's what you have to do. But one of the viewers of the show yesterday, and I don't want to misrepresent what was said, send me an email, and there's some great depth there. I want you guys to follow along with me. So, Jared, bring up the email here real quick. That was it. Just let's define a few words first, okay? Take this to heart as we think about this. Five porches. The porch was a public portal in Athens where Zasos, the philosopher, taught his disciples. The porch is equivalent to the school of Stoicism, but this is also a vestibule or an entrance into a building. So we're talking about entrance, the five porches being an entrance into a church, into a building, okay? Now, impotent, one of the words they use. Impotent means wanting the power of propagation. People who are impotent cannot reproduce, cannot grow. So look at the people that are laying outside this church, waiting for the water to be troubled. And who are the people that the Lord says are laying out there? The impotent, those who want to be able to multiply but aren't. Two, propagation is the spreading of the gospel among pagans, or the propagation of spreading or extension of anything, anything. So these people want to spread it and can't. They're impotent. Okay? The next one he mentions are the blind. They have not the faculty of discernment. They're destitute of intellectual light. They're ignorant, willingly ignoring by their own defects. So who are the people that are out there? The impotent, the ones who want to be able to reproduce and can't. The blind, who don't have the illumination of the spirit to understand and see what's going on. These are the ones that are gathered out there. The halt. 1 Kings 18:21. Why do you halt between two decisions, right? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. So the halt, those who what? Are unable to make a decision or make a choice. The halt. They're outside of it. And the withered. Oh my Lord. Faded. Dried up. And then they use the term angel. An angel shows up as the minister of the gospel or an evil spirit. The infirmity is a weakness of the mind. A lie is a criminal falsehood. Falsehood uttered for the purpose of deception. False doctrines. An idolatrous picture of God. A false God like Romans 5. Do you understand who these people are that are around the water? They don't have an understanding of who God is. And so they're hoping that this old stagnant water, if somebody stirs that up, that old stagnant water is going to help them. They got a weakness of the mind. And a pool represents stagnant water. Water, the Bible shows us people carry is to effect, to accomplish, to prevail, to carry a price. Salvation is in the Lord. Not in the water. Bed is to be delivered as a child, delivered from death, pain, torment, in Revelation and everything. Now, she said these definitions are taken from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you guys can go back and read this later. Those definitions were taken from the Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Because if you read this with this in mind, you will see the truth in not just words on a page. I say that over and over. Words have meaning. Words have meaning. In John 4:21-12, well, that's a different scripture. Talks about the woman in the church. True worshipers worship in spirit and truth. So then, just like today, we've turned our faith towards lying, signs, and wonders, and love to have it so. Which, that's the pool of Bethesda. Trusting the motions and the machinations of man to be able to save us. Remember, in these machinations of men, lie the false doctrines. And it makes people impotent. That's why he talks so much about the sickly among you. Christ asked him if he wanted to be made whole, because when Christ makes you free, you are free. But man sets you free when you're bought with a price. You understand the difference? So the point I was making, trying to make yesterday, is sometimes we have to go into that troubled water to rescue others that are in there. Not that we go into the troubled water to be healed. No. It's a picture of the church trusting man-made things to do it. And we have to go into that area and say, no, it's not through that poison. Stagnant water. It's not through that. It's not through the plans of men and the programs of men. No, it's not through that. Do you want to be made whole? Then that water ain't going to do it for you. So I just wanted to bring that to you today to see that there's a double meaning, there's a triple meaning in everything that we do. And it says in Jude that we got to rescue them. Some you got to rescue out of the fire. Some you got to go into that swamp and pull out. Think about
I was just going to quote that out of Jude, Coach. It says not just to rescue, it says to snatch them. It means to literally take hold and yank them out of that fire.
Yank them out of it, Dale. That stagnant water of religiosity. Rescue them and pull them out of there. You know, we can't just continue to walk over the top of it and ignore it. That's why they get on me about being a church basher. I'm not trying to be a church basher. I'm trying to bring life. Trying to bring life to Christians. And to tell you, you're in stagnant water. So a tip of the cap. Tip of the cap. Point being, I think what the writer was trying to get me to make sure that I understood is that stagnant water, that man-made water, wasn't going to heal you. It ain't going to heal you. All this name it, claim it, all this stuff that we're going on. That you want to be free? You want to be healed? You want to be free? Because those aren't the same thing. They're not the same thing. Okay, anybody want to pound on that one a minute? I just thought that was pretty good, and I wanted to.
Well, brother, I go right back to what I'm saying is the attack from the church on the church, or should I say upon us, you know, upon you, upon myself, upon many other people, is that, you know, they do this even unconsciously. They do that to justify their own lifestyle. They believe that they can bring us down is their truth, not realizing that we're supposed to strive up. The Hebrew says the anchor and the finisher, the anchor of our soul is up. It's not down. Yeah, we're trying to call people to the life of righteousness, which is a challenge and it's a struggle. And you got to press on and press into this. They don't want that. They want the easy way out. And I want to tell you something, brother. That's a slippery slope. And like I said, they tell me that they're just coasting along. I said, I don't know about you, but I've never seen anything coast uphill. Everything goes down.
Amen, brother. Amen. So here, listen, here's the point that I want to make. This is powerful. The Jews wanted control over man. That's why they had the pool and the water got troubled. They wanted to control men. Christ wants your love and obedience for his payment by faith, which shows you through your works. Do you understand that? And then it closes with this. I'm not stepping into that pool. Me either, except I'll step into that pool to rescue others. I am not stepping into that pool for healing. I'm not stepping into that pool, that stagnant water, for nothing. But I will go into that troubled water to try to rescue those who are deceived. What are the words? What are the words? Let's go back up there, Jared. Halt, blind, impotent, withered, infirmity. I'll go in there and try to rescue them and help them know that old religion you're clinging to, that Methodism, that ain't it. That's not going to make you whole. Only Christ can make you whole again. Only Christ can. You're sick about where you are, get born again. Do you want to be made free? Get born again. Get born again. That's the message, not that troubled water. So I don't want anybody to think that I thought going into the troubled water to receive the blessings of the Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I never thought that. Yeah, go ahead.
Jude 1:23. We've talked about it on the huddle. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them.
Amen. There it is. There it is. There it is. Whoop. There it is. Whoop. There it is. So,
Coach. A bridge over troubled waters, like hiding from those that need help. Correct?
Yes. Jerry. It's no different than the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, walking by those who need help. The troubled water is where that's where people have gone to be delivered, and they get into that water, and then it gets troubled. And we're not to be a bridge over it. We're not to go around it. We're supposed to be there, and Roger, do what? Snatch him out of it. Snatch him out of that old dead religion.
Hey, Coach, man-made. Think about that bridge. that bridge over troubled waters, first off, it's an easy path. And, of course, it requires you to accustom to a certain way, which is going up a little bit. But you know what? At the end of it, bridges always come down. They always come down.
They do come down, don't they? They always come down. Amen. So that's a powerful email. Those definitions. In fact, I just see Sarge just said, man, send that out so I can put it in a PDF, because that is powerful. And remember, those definitions are from the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Isn't that something? Well, guys, words mean
things. Yeah, Noel Webster, who could literally quote the entire Bible. That's who Noel Webster, the original of Noel Webster. He literally could quote the entire Bible.
Words have meaning, boys and girls. Words have meaning. Okay, I'm sorry if it seems like I've been all over the place. I was up early this morning. Right? I was up early. Listen. Scripture says this, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. America's lawless. America is a lawless nation. And there's a set of laws for us, and there's a set of laws for this other group of people. And I don't care what your politics are. Some people need to go to jail, and some people need to be executed. Is anybody hearing me? According to what our founders set up. Now I'm gonna bring this back around. I only got two minutes. A high crime. Pull that up there, Jared. You had it up there before. I pulled this, I don't know, off of some good website. I want to read this to you. High crime, which brings us to other high crimes and misdemeanors. I'm not talking about that. Indeed, in this is influential commentaries on the Constitution, Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, the intellectual mate of Chief Justice John Marshall, explained, the offenses to which the remedy of impeachment has been and will continue to be principally applied are of a political nature. What are aptly termed political offenses, growing out of personal misconduct or gross neglect or usurpation or habitual disregard of the public interest. James Madison explained, some provision should be made for defending the community against the incapacity, negligence, or perfidy of the chief magistrate. He might pervert his administration into a scheme of peculation or oppression. He must betray his trust to foreign powers. In other words, a high crime is a crime committed by someone in a high position of authority. It doesn't have anything to do with the severity of it. If our elected officials are lying to us, that is a high crime. That is a high crime. If our leaders are able to get away with dishonesty, our republic is doomed. Our republic is doomed. And so the reason that we're the point I'm trying to make is the time in which we live are so important, because we cannot allow this ungodly, unrighteous high crime by our leaders to go unpunished. We can't. If we do not punish this, our republic is finished. It's finished. Guys, we have become everything they told us the Soviet Union was back in the 60s. Remember how they used to tell us in schools how bad the Soviet Union was and their leaders were all corrupt and it's us. It is us. That's why I'm wearing my shirt. She has to do a perp walk. It would be the greatest thing for the restoration of the American way of life to see Hillary and Obama and G.W. Bush and Cheney and any of those guys who might have been involved with it, to see them do a perp walk would be such a cleansing and healing to the American way of life beyond what I.
Coach.
Yeah.
Amen.
Over in the chat, I wrote U.S. Code Title 18, Part 1, which is about treason. You might want to read that.
It's about what, Sarah? I'm sorry?
Treason. It is the only thing, crime-wise, that is listed within the Constitution. and the punishments.
What is it? There it is. Whoever commits an offense against the United States or aids, abets, counsels, commands, induces, or procures, its commission is punishable as a principle. And whoever willingly causes an act to be done, which performed by him or another, would be an offense against the United States, is punishable as a principle. There it is. There it is. It's treason.
I'm going to redeem all in those clause tomorrow.
We don't even want to talk about this stuff. And see, like, the only way this is going to happen is if the church arises and demands justice. But they've got us divided over race and over doctrine and theology and gay marriage. They got us so that we can't even open our eyes to be the salt and the light that Christ has called us to be. We live in like unbelievable times, and the gospel is the solution to every one of our problems, and the church won't deliver the mail.
Amen, Coach.
It's time to deliver the mail. God bless you, man. Thanks for bearing with me. We'll see you tomorrow.